We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with you 10 to 2 here on 610 Sports Radio. Everybody back in maybe the somewhat normal groove today, back from the holiday, but still feeling a little bit different maybe to some extent when you're looking everywhere and it's Chiefs. I went out after the show, Cody, yesterday and went to a local store to get some more gear. I went and got the hoodie. I'm ready to go.
I can't believe you already bought that. It was already, so quick.
People were going on Sunday night, man.
How much did it cost?
$75.
Oh, Ryan, when's the last time you spent $75 on a hoodie? Look,
it's
man, respect.
50 years. Guys, it's been 50 years. I'm hoping it's not going to be another 50 before I need to buy one of these. And you're right. And Fesco pointed out, too, off air.
You're going to want the Super Bowl one.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm only buying this. This is all I'm buying for now. I'm waiting for the Super Bowl championship gear because I'll spend more of my money on that. If the Chiefs somehow lose, then I'll go back and when the locker room shirts are cheaper, then I'll get some of those. But for now, I got the hoodie. I'm good to go. It's very comfortable, by the way.
It's a pretty dope design. I'll give them that.
It's the same design as the locker room tee, but just in a hoodie. Have you got any Chiefs gear yet?
Zero.
Are you going to before Miami?
No. I mean, I'm not saying – I'm just not the same thing, right? Like, these are just differences. And I don't often buy labeled team apparel during this run until after. I'm not saying I'm a never guy. I'm just saying I'm a, like, after the – fact guy.
I normally agree with that if your team consists, like if you're a Patriots fan, you're not buying AFC championship shirts. You're buying, sure, Super Bowl stuff. Like if we get lucky enough around here where the Chiefs are going to multiple Super Bowls and
probably
things like
not
that.
Buying
like
AFC
next year,
champion.
If next year if we're in the same spot here, probably not buying an AFC championship shirt. Probably waiting for the Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. When it's 50 years, I'm not. Again, no judgment.
This thing's going to get plenty of use. I might just wear this. I might just wear it till Miami because I'm definitely not wearing this down in Miami. It's going to be a little warm.
That would probably be overkill. No,
might be sweating it out.
T-shirt for that one, but also,
you know,
maybe some 610 gear while we're down there.
You can always interact with us here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclynn.com at 913-576-7610 and over on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306. We mentioned the Patriots there, and for the last, six-plus years, I feel like the conversation around the Patriots has always been about Brady and Belichick. Brady and Belichick, who gets all the credit? And in fact, the conversation is probably brought up more today even and over the last couple days because now that the offseason has begun for the Patriots, trying to figure out what's going to happen for Tom Brady and his future. Is he going to stay in New England? Is he going to go elsewhere? And that brings up the conversation yet again about who gets more of the credit. All right, someone's got to get the credit. Who gets more of it, Brady or Belichick? That's not a new conversation. So here in Kansas City, now they're on their way to their first Super Bowl together, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. 2 years as a starting quarterback, who gets more of the credit right now? Who do you break it down to? If you're going to break it down to a percentage, where are you at when it comes to Reid and Mahomes? And for me at this point, and it can totally shift, I'll give you this, it's going to totally shift depending on what happens in the Super Bowl. Because for me right now, it's like a 65-35 in favor of Patrick Mahomes, if not 70-30 in favor of Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like that is where a lot of people are at because of the infatuation and love of Patrick Mahomes right now. If they go and win a Super Bowl, maybe for me it actually balances out more, believe it or not. If they lose and Mahomes looks great, and he doesn't, as you said, he doesn't have bad games, if they lose, then I think it could actually shift even more in favor of Mahomes than Reid because people say, oh, Reid would be 0-2 in Super Bowl. So for me right now, heading into the Super Bowl, it's 70-30, 65-35 in terms of the credit on the QB versus the quarterback.
I think it depends on how you look at it. And the fun part about that conversation is we spent all of those years when it was Andy Reid and Alex Smith here. And Alex Smith had the best years of his career here. Lots of quarterbacks have had the best years of their career under Andy. Obviously, Mahomes has, although he's never had any other, coach in the NFL, so that doesn't tell you anything based on that. But it's when you start breaking down the percentage of what it is, I think if you would ask this question when it was Andy and Alex Smith and they were going to playoff runs and Alex was having the best year of his career, people would have told you 70-30 Reed. 70-30 Reed.
Maybe more, man.
And I feel like people might now be in the conversation of putting it 70-30 Mahomes. And I just don't think that's the split. That's not knocking what Mahomes does. He's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. He has that kind of talent. We know those things. But that's a real disservice to the offensive design that Andy Reid has put in place, including some of the things like they have for the second consecutive year led the NFL in yards per separation. Some of that is skill, the position players that they have, you know, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. And some of that is design. You get separation by design, by scheming people open. When they're 15 yards open, that just pushes that number up and up and up. And so when I actually start thinking about the percentage between the two, I think it's more like 50-50. I know that sounds low. Everyone's like, that's lunacy. But that to me, when I say that, I think they're the perfect pair. I think what it is Patrick Mahomes is great. And Andy Reid is great at making him great. And when I start divvying up like the responsibility of who gets more credit, I don't really feel like I lean towards one guy deserving more than the other. Because I don't think without, you know, like obviously I think Patrick Mahomes is still great without Andy Reid. But I think Andy Reid has proven he's great without Patrick Mahomes. And so for me, those two kind of coincide between the numbers. I know people want to lean, like we asked two people in the newsroom, and I think even Ryan, it said 70-30.
People are going to lean with the quarterback, especially early in the career, which sounds the opposite of what it should be.
No, the questions with Brady got like further and further. People slid that number further towards Belichick
the longer,
as time went on. Like as time went on, it was more like, oh, you know what? I think it's 60-40 Belichick to Brady, which is crazy because Tom Brady's a Hall of Fame quarterback who's going to have more Super Bowl titles than any quarterback ever, and yet still you lean towards Belichick. I don't lean towards Reed. Like, if you made me choose a side, if I had to go 51-49 on another side, I'd go towards Mahomes. Because having an elite quarterback will always make those things easier. And Andy's never won a Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't won one with him yet, but he's never won one without him. And I just think that that number rides closer to the middle than I think maybe some people would put it.
Yeah, see, I would go, like, 55 Mahomes, 45 Andy. Because I have zero doubts that Mahomes, without Andy Reid, would be a successful and more than capable NFL quarterback. But I think the level of greatness that he is at right now was made possible because of how great Andy Reid is. It's at least that early in the season, because I think that, you know, the big narrative around him coming in was, you know, he's got all the tools, but he's going to be a gunslinger. He's going to throw picks and he's going to do all that stuff. I think the year of him sitting helped him learn how not to do that stuff quite a bit, but that was also Andy Reid's plan for him. And the fact that he doesn't throw interceptions now, I think that's something that's Andy Reid giving him the opportunity to show him how to make decisions at this level and how to process things and how to do all that stuff, because it's without a doubt, Andy Reid has made every quarterback he's ever had better. In some possible
sure.
way.
Vic was better.
He
Call
has
was
maximized
better.
Every quarterback that he has ever had. And now Patrick Mahomes has the ability to not only be maximized by Andy Reid, but he himself can maximize everything that Andy wants to do. So they complement each other in a lot of ways. So I'm not just going to give all of the credit to Mahomes. If he continues this in the Super Bowl, what he's done this postseason, I think that number would change for me a little bit. Where maybe they start slow and he's just like, all right, screw this. I'm going to go win myself a ring, and does what he's been doing. Sure. But I think to this point in his career, you have to give that credit to Andy Reid for making him who he is right now.
Look, I'm not giving it all to Mahomes. I still said 65-35. It's not like I'm going crazy. I think there's some people out there who would probably be willing to go 80-20 or 90-10. That's crazy to me. 65-35 is not everything you said, I agree with for the most part. But I also say, and I just saw the highlight of it again on NFL Network here in studio, that run, like, after I saw that run for 27 yards, you know how hard it is for me to not give a majority of the credit to Mahomes? Like, everything you said is accurate. Sitting out for a year. Alex Smith maybe deserves some of this credit as well, honestly, if we want to give him, like, 2% or 5% of it on this chart.
Well, right? We start divvying up pies, and we really got to have a longer conversation.
Yeah. But, like, so Alex Smith gets some credit there. Certainly the situation Mahomes has found himself in is unbelievable. There's so many quarterbacks that would have loved coming out of college to have had a year behind Smith, to had a year with Andy Reid before, to have these weapons. Nobody's debating that. I just look at the, as we all realize, the natural ability. When I see that 27-yard touchdown run that him and Lamar Jackson are the only two guys in the league probably making and is an all-time NFL play, that just puts him over the top for me when we're trying to divvy up these percentages. And I think if we do the same exercise, though, as I said, after the Super Bowl, if they win or lose, it's definitely going to change. Because if they win, I might actually bring mine down. I might actually bring mine down a little bit more toward Andy Reid. If they lose, to me, then my 65-35 is maybe even more justified in favor of Mahomes, because then the conversation is going to continue to be about Andy Reid, 0-2 in Super Bowls.
I mean, in particular, it depends on how that game goes. Like, it's hard to know how people's mindset would shift win or lose, depending on, because Mahomes goes for 504 touchdowns. Whatever we ask people on this number, it's going to go up. And we'll take your opinions at the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 69306. Some people agreeing with Serta, 55-45, at least one from the 816, saying that, you know, neither would be in the Super Bowl without each other.
I agree with that.
It's the 24 part where I see why people end up putting a larger percentage on Mahomes. But that's where I kind of, it's the opposite of that for why I come back to the middle. It's what Serta had to say. It's that all I have is one impossibly long history of Andy Reid making every quarterback better that he has been around. The career years of players that have continued down that are constantly higher, always higher under Andy Reid. Alex Smith, Kolb, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Matt Moore. Those might have been the best two games of Matt Moore's career. He played for Andy Reid this year. That's probably an exaggeration because he certainly was younger and had a lot of starts there for a while. But he maximizes what a quarterback does. Again, the freelance stuff that you mentioned can't be ignored. Whatever Andy Reid does with, whatever Patrick Mahomes does within that is completely unplanned, unpredictable, unbelievable plays that only he can do. Nothing that Andy Reid has to do prevents him from doing that. But the interception stuff can't be ignored. The yards of separation can't be ignored. How perfectly Andy Reid's system has been catered to him. Like, that's another part of it. That's where credit starts to go. Andy is one of those coaches that will manipulate his system in a way that perfectly adjusts to his quarterback. That doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes has the gifts to take advantage of it, because what Andy Reid has done is said, let's just throw all the time because you're Patrick Mahomes and this works great. And I didn't have a quarterback who I could throw it with. Like, sometimes you get guilty of trying to throwing it too much with a quarterback who shouldn't have been throwing it as much as Patrick Mahomes does. So, obviously, Patrick Mahomes does, you know, like, I don't think I'd ever flip it on the other side right now. Just because I've seen Andy been very successful with very good quarterbacks for a long time. But the kind of success they've had in these first 2 years hasn't been equaled since his 4 championship run time with that. And he did that without, you know, with a quarterback who's not going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Don McNabb was a very good quarterback. He's in the Hall of Very Good. But he's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Because I think if you asked Eagles fans who deserved more credit then, I wonder what the divvy of the pie is. It's so early, you don't necessarily have to do it. But with that conversation with Brady Belichick.
No, that's why it's fun. We're only 2 years into it.
Where were you at on Brady Belichick? I was always a 60-40 Belichick guy. And maybe that's wrong. But I always felt like he was the greatest tactician in NFL history.
And at this point, I'm absolutely on the Belichick end of it. Absolutely. Now at the end here of the Brady-Belichick era, and I do think Belichick and Brady will be together next year. I think Brady ends up staying in New England. Absolutely right now, especially what we've seen with the defense year in, year out, revolving door really defensively for the Patriots, and they still are considered one of the best defenses, and Belichick and the genius he is. I absolutely would lean, I don't know the exact split. I probably would be at this point in his career.
50-50 is fine, too.
I'd probably be at 70-30 is for Belichick over Brady. So the opposite of where I'm kind of at Mahomes. And that's something that, again, I think maybe will shift as time goes on when the big question a couple years from now, when maybe the weapons are not there for Mahomes. What does his numbers continue to look like?
This is an evolving line.
Absolutely. Again, over on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306, someone says, Andy, 60-40. You have to consider against all the pundits. Andy moved up to pick Mahomes. Patrick had talent. Andy fine-tuned him.
And that's, again, if we're divvying up other pieces of the pie, like how much, it gets to be a much harder conversation. And I think Mahomes' number grows because you start divvying up, like, front office versus. Like, for me, it's just, like, in the success that they have in this offense, how much credit does Andy get for the success that they're able to put together, and how much does Mahomes get? I know why you're at 65-35. I just feel like it's closer than it is right now because of how quickly he got him there. And that, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if Marina and Shula had this conversation. We're talking about the beginning of a first two-year career. And I'm surprised. There's more people closer to 50-50 than I guess I thought it was going to be, just based on that. I know people are mentioning other players and other, you know, like, it's closer to 50-50 than I thought it was going to be. I thought more people be where you were. I thought more people just be like, it's Mahomes. But I think people see kind of the symbiotic nature of how the two of them have come together in what seems like perfect harmony. Andy Reid, as someone pointed out, had Favre in his early career when he was a coordinator back in his Green Bay days, and they would sling it constantly. I think people kind of thought that that's the kind of early career they expected out of Mahomes, and instead he's just been more efficient than that.
Coming up at 11:30 and 11 o'clock, I will have the forum. Kling and Banker are going to be in studio. We'll get their thoughts on this as well. Danny Welniak going to join us, KCB5 sports director, in the 1 o'clock hour as well. And I do think if Andy Reid loses his second Super Bowl and goes 0-2, I think if we see these guys that are 50-50 right now, I think you see it go a little bit more towards where I'm at on the Mahomes route, because people will start saying, oh, can he just not win the Super Bowl? People aren't going to look at it as Mahomes can't win it. They're going to look at it, Andy Reid can't get it.
Now, if you want to ask me on the other side, because this is essentially the analytics bowl, if you're saying what percentage I give Shanahan versus Garoppolo, 70% Shanahan, 30 Garoppolo?
Yeah, 75-25.
I'm not that high. I still think you got to play pretty good quarterback, and Garoppolo has done that. But I'm sure Serta's like in the same range as me there.
Well, there's recency bias, too. We just saw Garoppolo only have to throw the ball 8 times in a game and win.
Yes, they just won a game in which they only asked their quarterback to throw 8 times. So I'm like 70% Shanahan, 30%, because both of these guys are so great at designing things.
Yes. I think Jimmy's a fine quarterback, but he needs Kyle Shanahan. I don't think that offense would be anything close to what it is without him.
Like, what would Jimmy Garoppolo be with Bill O'Brien? Would he be Deshaun Watson's numbers?
Well, it's the same
because
thing
that's
about
what he was this year, and my answer is no.
This is the same conversation people have with Goff and McVay, right?
Sure.
I mean, Jared Goff got the huge contract, went to the Super Bowl last year, but a lot of people still look at Goff and say, wow, without Sean McVay, what would... I mean, we already saw what Jared Goff was. I shouldn't say what would it look like. We know what it looked like. Now, Jeff Fisher was a big part of the problem, but like, we know what Goff looked like without Sean McVay. And so I think, yeah, that same debate. I think that is more probably for me, that's the comparison of what it would look like with Garoppolo without Kyle Shanahan. Well, to me, it's the Jared Goff, Sean McVay conversation.
And this is what's awesome about this upcoming game, is that we're going to get to look at two coaches who are excellent at diagnosing, specifically on offense. Obviously, the 49ers have a very good defense this year, too. But two coaches who are very good at taking care of people's weaknesses offensively. And so you're going to kind of get a firsthand look into this, because as we start looking at Andy Reid versus Shanahan, these are two coaches who I've put in the top five already. I put Shanahan in there, remember, before he got to the Super Bowl.
No, you did.
I told you early in the playoffs, I already felt like, because we ranked them in the wild card round, and I think I had Shanahan. I said, I already think Shanahan's a top five coach in the NFL. So I think this is going to be a chance to kind of see. It's like testing your merit. When you're saying, like, how can this play a conversation in this? This kind of becomes Reid versus Shanahan in a diagnosing matter because of the way that they use analytics and design in order to attack defenses. We're actually going to get to see a head-to-head, hey, who had the better plan? I wasn't worried about that versus O'Brien. I wasn't worried about that versus Vrabel. This is his first real challenge this postseason of that. And Vrabel's a good designer, too. He's fine. But he's not the way these two guys do it. Vrabel does it, like, a lot of their teams are just built on grit, which you can still do. And they still employed some of those tactics. But this is two guys who are as good as anybody at diagnosing this part of it. So you start getting into that head-to-head of, because Mahomes versus Garoppolo, huh? I don't think anyone's taking
it's
Garoppolo.
Extremely lopsided.
In that matchup, Reid versus Shanahan, that's a matchup. That's the two great football minds going back and forth to figure out who can do better than the other.
Isn't that why I told you I wanted Green Bay, just from the historical significance of Super Bowl I and all that, but most people nationally wanted, once Lamar Jackson was out of the picture, right, and the potential matchups for Super Bowl, most people wanted Chiefs 49ers at that point because of just what you said. It's Kyle Shanahan against Andy. This is what people want. These guys get two weeks to come up with a game plan for each other, based off of analytics and everything else, with the talent that is on both of these rosters.
It's going to be fun.
Like, you know each coach is going to not, I'm not even just talking about like trick play type stuff, right? Because you know each coach is going to have something up their sleeve to say.
No,
the
just like but the 49ers just deciding they can run it 40
just flat
times.
Out where they view there is the total strength in their mind over their opponent. It is going to be really fun to watch, which is why this thing has been sitting around a pick 'em or Chiefs favored by one. It's going to switch, I'm sure, by the time we get to kickoff. Eventually, I think at kickoff, it truly will be a pick 'em overall.
I'm so fascinated. I went back to their matchup a year ago to try to figure out if there was anything like diagnosable in that. You might remember that was a game Jimmy Garoppolo got knocked out for the season, but it was in like the fourth quarter. It was way late in the game. They had played a majority of it and pretty much had played even. And while you might go back and see like that 49ers team stunk, right? Well, they didn't. They stunk because C.J. Beathard had to like roll the dice for a while, and they weren't quite the defensive unit they were because
Nick Mullins.
But they were better. They were still a pretty good offensive team. Those first, when they were going into that, that was a 1-1 49ers team and a 3-0 Chiefs, or a 1-2 49ers team and a 3-0 Chiefs team. And the 49ers actually had played like a murderer's row schedule. And it actually played okay, I thought, during that stretch. I tried to even go back to figure out if I could do anything, and it was like the same thing. Garoppolo threw way too much because the Chiefs got way ahead, and the 49ers had to come out of that. So the situation's all the same. Get them out of their game, and you feel fine. Garoppolo, when he had to throw, was 20 of 30 for only 251 yards. No, he didn't have any turnovers. Yes, they still ran the ball really well because Matt Breida went 10 carries for 90 yards. So I still think, going into this, that Shanahan's going to be able to design some run plays that work. I have no, like, more so than I even felt worried about Derrick Henry, because essentially they just said, this is what we're going to do and there's nothing you can do about it. And eventually the Chiefs did something about it. The 49ers don't exactly tell you this is what we're going to do. They do it in a lot of different ways. They carry the ball a lot in that game and eventually had to turn it over to Garoppolo when they got down. I don't know if that means that the Chiefs have to start fast, but even just going back that far, when I'm trying to design how these two coaches did it, they both designed perfectly executable offenses against it. Because even though the Chiefs, you might think, hey, they had Kareem Hunt in that game, so they must have run the ball well. No. 18 carries for 44 yards. That is a Damien Williams stat line if I've ever heard it in this postseason.
Neither of these coaches.
And Mahomes still went for 314 and 3. So I just think that diagnosably, these two teams can still do a lot offensively against each other.
Neither of these coaches are going to be predictable. Neither of these coaches are going to be shut down. These teams are going to get theirs. They're going to get the better of each other at times throughout this game. Come down in Miami on February the 2nd. I don't know how much. It'd be an interesting question to ask Andy Reid. I'm sure he'll be asked about it as this week and next week goes on. But just how much can you? We're trying to look at
look at Texans and Titans from earlier this year. And sometimes they're like, yeah, and man, now, you can't pay attention
and,
to that.
And now we're trying to go back a year before that. And just look at the roster. I mean, Mostert just had 200-something yards rushing this past week. And that game, he had one carry. Right? I mean, Matt Breida was the leading rusher at the time for the Niners. George Kittle, yeah, he was the leading receiver. But they also didn't have a Deebo Samuel on the roster yet. They didn't have an Emmanuel Sanders on the roster. They certainly didn't have a Nick Bosa.
But forcing them to throw was still the choice.
Oh, clearly. And clearly, the 49ers don't want to throw the ball, we think, at least heading in. Now, it wouldn't surprise you. I know they threw 30 in that game, but they don't want to based off this past week, that past two playoff games. I gave you the stat yesterday. Mahomes has more second quarter passing yards than Jimmy Garoppolo has in the entire postseason. Second quarter alone.
Not half.
Yes.
Quarter. Yeah. A quarter.
That just tells you where things are at. But as we say that here, watch them come out throwing the ball like crazy against the Chiefs. And that may be what the Chiefs want to have happen. But that wouldn't surprise you.
Wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise you one bit if that's ultimately where things end up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.